I'm so thankful to be here this morning. And I've come to share just a little bit of what the Lord has been laying on my heart. And the two songs were a real blessing because they just verified the burden the Lord has given to me today. A while back in our service there in Kentucky, I asked the question for a Bible study discussion, and from the second chapter of 1 Peter, where he tells us that we are lively stones, we're a holy priesthood. You remember that passage? 1 Peter chapter 2 and 4, verses 4 and also verse 9. Verses 4 and 5 and 9. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. A spiritual house. Lively stones built up into a spiritual house. And the purpose of this, it says, is to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And also in verse 9, the purpose is stated that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So this is the dual purpose of us being called and separated unto Him, is for us to offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God, and also to show forth His praises to the world around us, that we might show how that He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And it just seems like there's a connection with many other scriptures here that I want to draw for you today, and just let's explore this together. And I want to ask you the same question. How can we do that? How can we show forth His praises? How can we offer up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ? And one of the first responses that was from the congregation there was Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And I've not quit thinking about this. It was just an answer that gave so much depth to this question. And so I'd like to speak to this scripture this morning would be the real burden on my heart. Romans 12 and 1. And remember the question, how can we present sacrifices to God that are acceptable? Romans 12 and 1 answers the question, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. There's that phrase again. Which is your reasonable service. Now, sometimes whenever we hear a message that begins with these thoughts, we begin thinking, the enemy presents negative thoughts to you like, oh, you could never live like that, and oh, that's an impossibility, and oh, that life of sacrifice is just such a terrible thing to think about, and you don't want to do that, and you just kind of, he wants to shift your attention toward, it's not worth it, and you know what kind of thing they're going to talk about, and you're not going to have any enjoyment in life, and that kind of thing. The enemy would like to put that in there, but I want to encourage you this morning that these scriptures are true, and there's promise, and there's reward, and there's purpose for this. And it is not something that we just throw out here and we're just going to present to you a life of self-sacrifice and something kind of like a desert nun or something like this, or some kind of unreal life that you can't live really in this time world. But I've lived for the Lord now, and I remember hearing people say this to me when I was younger, but now my hair is gray. Now I can tell you with assurance that if you give your life to the Lord, that you'll never be sorry. I remember remember the ministers in my youth saying, like the lady that poured out the alabaster box and just wasted that valuable gift, and the other said, what a waste. I remember the ministers when I was younger saying, waste your life on the Lord. Pour your life out. And I remember at the outset of my life and in the beginning and coming to the altar and making that sacrifice with all that I knew how to do, saying, Lord, my life is yours. I want to live that way. Just make my life count. I don't want to get to my 30s and 40s and look back and there's nothing that is valuable, nothing that my life has done for you. I want my life to count for you. And so those times in your youth, whenever you're receiving the call and you're hearing that invitation, it's very valuable. Just take it. I assure you that God will, you don't do it for this purpose. Well, I want to see what all God will give to me. But you do it with the purpose of, Lord, I just want to give my life to you. I just want to yield myself to you. I don't care what you do with my life. I just want everything given to you. You do it with just that pure purpose. And God is going to be real to you. He is going to manifest himself to you. He is going to take your life and do things with it that you had never dreamed the Lord could do with your life. You'll be able to reach people. And as we get into the message, we'll see that that really is the purpose, to show forth the praises of him that's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, to reach people, to be as Jesus was. Now, we can't die on the cross like him for people. He's already done that. We don't have to do that. But we give ourselves to him in the same spirit to help others be saved. And so whatever the Lord can do with our life to help that to happen, that's what we want. And so we give ourselves to that. And we just say to the Lord, and you don't know what the Lord's going to call you to do. And it's a good thing that you don't know what 5 years and 10 years and 30 years down the road holds for you. You don't have to know that. But it's valuable to just yield your life to the Lord right now. And this says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Present your bodies. This word present, it means to stand by. And I just think about it. You know, when someone is just there, available, that's what you need. I remember my husband, when our boys were small, he would tell them, no, I won't have something for you to do every moment, but if you'll just stand right here and watch me and be available to do what I need you to do, you'll learn something. And that's what this word present means. It means to stand by. It means to be there ready and available. Lord, I'm just available. When you come and do this, you give the Lord permission to use you in any way that he wants to use you, whether it's seen or unseen, large or small, whether it's pleasant to the flesh or very, very unpleasant to the flesh. Whatever it is, when we give ourselves to it, it takes the difficulty away. It really does. When you're there and you say, this is what I do. I remember one time we had tent meeting, and the Clevengers came to be in the tent meeting there in Kentucky. And Brother Marty and some of the other brothers went out and around and to invite people to the services. Well, he came across some very unpleasant circumstances. And one lady, I can't remember the whole story, but she just said, why are you inviting me? And he said, well, this is what I do. And it just, that did something for me when he came back and told us about it. I thought, yeah, you know what? That's what my life is about too. This is what I do. This is my life. I don't have wishes and pining dreams and longing after another kind of life. If I did, it would make what I do really, really distasteful. But you know, when you present yourself to do this, this is what I want to do. This is what my whole heart longs to do, is just to serve you, Lord. Then whenever the unpleasant tasks are assigned to us, or pleasant, I mean, it's not all unpleasant. But whenever the unpleasant tasks are assigned to us down through the rest of our life, you remember, I gave myself to do this. This is what I do. And it's a joy to do what you want to do, isn't it? I think the most horrible thing would be to be a man who has an occupation and goes to a job every day that he hates. I think that would just be so awful. I've been privileged to be married to a man that loves what he does and does it with a passion. You just can't stop him from doing what he does. He might be sick as he can be, and yet he goes and does what he does. That's the idea I'm trying to portray here. We love what we do. We don't, when we yield ourselves to the Lord as a living sacrifice, there's a joy in it. When you really give, when you pass the point of, but I really kind of want to do something else, when you just pass that point and you just yield yourself to the Lord, that's where you begin to have the joys in your life. I can guarantee that. It is that way. This is real. This is not just a pie in the sky, but this is real living. Now, coming to this point where it says, a living sacrifice. What does that mean? A living sacrifice. Well, some have said that means that you've been born again and you're alive. You're not dead in sin anymore, but you're saved. And I believe that's right. You come and you're saved. You're not dead in sins. So you come and present your body to the Lord as a living, spiritually alive person. But I've been thinking about this for a long time. And I really believe it also has meaning in that every moment of every day, my life is yielded, not just at the outset, not just initially, at the very beginning, do I yield myself to the Lord, but I give myself every day to the Lord. I live a sacrifice. It's what we call a sacrificial life. And we kind of think, oh, that's for certain people. That's old brother so-and-so or poor sister so-and-so. They live a sacrificial life. But the real Christian life, the life of Jesus Christ in us, is a sacrificial life. As we heard last night, it's a love that's unconditional. It's I love you and I'll serve you, no strings attached. I don't care what you tell me to do. I don't care what you have for me to do. I just want to serve you. I give myself to it. I yield my body to it. Everything in me. We have a song, number 239, that just details it out. And that's what Frances Ridley Havergal had. That's what she had in mind. She was staying with some friends, and she asked the Lord at the beginning of her stay, give me everyone in this household to be saved. And there were several unbelievers in that household. And so she gave herself to the salvation of those souls while she was there. And she made that consecration and wrote it out. Lord, take my voice, take my hands, every move that I make, let it be at the impulse of your love. And she had some jewelry that she loved that had been given to her. And one day she felt that the Lord wanted her to give that to him. So she took it all off and she gave it to the Lord. And it's in that song, take my silver and my gold. Not a mite would I withhold. That's the story behind that song. And I want you to know that before she left, the Lord had given her every soul in that house. They were all saved. Now, at the very beginning, Satan might have said, it's not worth it, whatever sacrifice that you have to make, it's not worth it. But could you tell her that at the end of her stay, when all of those unbelieving relatives have given their heart to the Lord? You couldn't have persuaded her. She would have said, every sacrifice that I made, that song was not just a song. It was her life during that month or whatever it was that she was there. Everything in that song was something that God called on her. She did it for the salvation of souls. And so this is what he's saying here. You give yourself a living sacrifice, nonstop, without reserve, every moment, every day. And you say, well, What's going to be left for me? What's in this for me? That's the point. We yield that to the Lord. And I want to tell you something. That's an act of faith. Trust your Heavenly Father, who is the Father that says, all that I have is yours. With that kind of an unselfish father heart, do you think that he would take you, giving yourself to him, and say, oh good, I'm going to deprive this person of all the joy in life? No! God doesn't do that. He is the unselfish, giving Heavenly Father who says, oh, you rejoice my heart. I have something pleasant to send your way. Trust him. Trust him. I think one of the practical ways this is lived out in human experience is in that of a mother. You know, living every moment of every day for this purpose, I want to see my children saved. Is there any sacrifice too great? Now, when you look at it that way, then you can picture, and I'm not excluding the brothers, but I'm just thinking, since I'm a sister, I speak more to the sisters. But in faith, you do this labor of love in faith. You don't see the outcome. You don't see the fine man that your little boy that's so naughty and ornery is going to be. In some way, you see it, but sometimes you just don't see it. You just think, oh, I just don't know how this is ever going to work out. He's so mean. He's so ornery. What, Lord? And so the Lord says, you give yourself to this discipline. You give yourself to this sacrifice of your own wants and your own needs. You give yourself to being a mother. And it's 18, 20 years. And the world looks at it and says, what are you getting out of that? I want to tell you what you get out of it. You get out of it a fine young man or a precious young daughter who is a blessing to you, who talks with you as two adults talk together and share life together. That's your goal. You always keep that in mind. I'm working myself out of a job, but while I've got the job, I give myself to the job. This is what I do. I'm a mother. I give myself a living sacrifice to this task. It's a small window, really, in life. It's over so quickly. Those days of diapers are over so quickly. And we think when we're in them, they last forever, don't you? And baby food and cleaning up and wiping up messes and wiping away tears and yuckier things than that. You think, oh, this is going to be, every day. Give yourself to it. When you give yourself to a task, you put the joy in it. You put the joy in it, and the joy that you do that with, your children catch that. You don't go and say, mommy's happy to be your mommy. You don't just do that, but they catch it. That mom's happy. You know, I've preached this many times. The children, they catch joy and they catch irritability really well. They read you really well. They're your worst critics, really. But they're actually judging your life every day. And they're also, when someone that's not a Christian comes around and they're fun and they're happy and they're nice to be with, but mom, who's a Christian, is a crab. What are they going to, just tell me, who are they going to want to be like? It just turns out like that, that children really read us. And so I want to encourage you, as mothers today, give yourself a living sacrifice. Yield your body, your mind, your soul, your intellect, your will, your passion to being a mother. And I'll let the brothers speak to the brothers. But that's just one of the thoughts the Lord had given to me about being a living sacrifice. Another thought about I want to stay here just for a little bit about winning souls. We want to win souls, don't we? But you know what it's going to take? Sometimes we have a glamorous picture of, oh, I'm going to go stand on a New York street corner and I'm going to preach the gospel and I'm going to win souls. That's real glamorous, thinking about it. But probably what you're going to do in your life is you're going to be giving of yourself in menial ways. Spending time, as we heard last night, spending time at a hospital bed or with a teenager that's surly and kind of rude sometimes, or with a neighbor that's not very nice, or whatever it is. But you're going to sacrifice your time and your love and your energy and what you want to do, and you're going to answer that fourth phone call that says, you know, I just want to talk. And you've got your time that's so dear to you. The Lord says, a living sacrifice. Spend that time for that person. It's going to pay off. People really do read love that way when you spend time with them. I was also thinking of this. How do we show forth the praises of Him who's called us out of darkness? In Hebrews chapter 13. It talks about Jesus who suffered outside the city on Calvary. He had to bear His cross, as we know, down that long and lonely road and go outside the city and bear our sins, the sins of the whole world. He was our substitute, and we know all that. But in verse 13 of Hebrews 13, it says, Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him outside the camp. It's saying you take the sacrificial life that Jesus, even the very time of His crucifixion, that scene, that spirit, that fight that He was in at that point, we're going to do that too. Let us go unto Him. He went out there for us. Now we do this unto Him. We do this for Him. And that is the motivation for any sacrifice. It must always be, this is for You, Jesus. If we do it for any other reason, it won't work. If we do it to be seen of men, it won't bring the results. If we must do it purely, with only one motive, no selfish motives. And that interesting thought, to do an unselfish act for a selfish reason. But it happens. In religion, it happens. People do things like that all the time. Last night, it was asked the question, can you really give your body to be burned? Or can you really do all these things without charity? Yes, people do. Without that pure love for God. But this says, let's go forth, therefore, unto Him outside the camp, bearing His reproach. Let's look just a little bit at something that Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Oh, this is really the life of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Start at verse 5. For we preach not ourselves. You see, the purity of our motive is not to present ourselves, but it's to do the will of God. It's to say to Jesus, I delight to do Your will. We preach not ourselves. This whole thing is not about us, but it's about God. We preach Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, Your servants. See, we give ourselves willingly to be slaves and servants to the Lord. And this is the true ministry of Jesus Christ, is that we don't preach ourselves. And brethren, let's preach in this spirit. All of us, let's preach in this spirit. I don't preach myself, but I want to preach Jesus Christ. I'm just a servant. I think that the whole religious world has elevated the office of a minister way too high.
Yes.
It's way too high.
Yes.
We're just servants. Then he said, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So, in order to shine light, you're going to have light in you, right? In order to reflect light, you've got to have the light of Jesus shining in you. In order to, as he said in the verses right before this chapter, we behold that glory. And that glory, it's like film. It imprints itself in us. And then we reflect that same image. Instead of us, we reflect Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose of this, is it not? That we should show forth the praises of Him who's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That is the purpose. Not to preach myself, but to yield myself to the Lord so that He shines out of me. He shined in our hearts. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's always what we should keep in mind. I'm just an earthen vessel. There's different kinds of vessels. We've got some right here. Here's this glass. Here's this old bottle. And if you had a crystal vase here, you know, everybody would, "Oh, I want to be a crystal vase." Or you've got that candlestick right there. It holds the candle. We don't say, "Oh, I love the light coming from that candlestick." No, it holds the candle. Or, "What a wonderful glass. It gives me water." There's nothing about the glass that gives you water. It's the water that's put in the glass. You could be out in the desert and somebody hands you an empty glass and you're like, "Thanks, but no thanks. I can't use this. I want the water." So the vessel isn't anything. And it doesn't matter. This is what we do to the Lord. We say, "Lord, it doesn't matter how you use me. I'm just going to stand by."
Yes.
I remember hearing Sister Catherine Williams, dear old sister, when I was younger. The Lord gave her a vision and showed her like a kitchen wall with iron skillets and all kinds of stuff just hanging on the wall. And she was kind of frustrated because she didn't know if she could really do for the Lord what she wanted to do. And the Lord showed her that vision and said, "You just be a skillet on the wall. And you just be a vessel. And whenever I want to use you, I'll take you down and use you. You don't have to be glamorous. You don't have to be like somebody else. You know what? You're going to frustrate this whole thing if you try to be like somebody else." And that's what we do. Sometimes we lift up other people and we think, "Oh, they're so spiritual and so holy. I want to just be just like them." And so we dress like them and we walk like them and we do things in front of them to make them like us. I'm telling you, I know all about this because I've been that way. And you know what? You just can't. God wants you to be you. He wants the vessel that you are.
Amen.
You have gifts and you have abilities and you have spheres of influence that no one else has. You just be you. Let God use you in the voice that He gave you and the mannerisms that He gave you and the gender that you are and the place where you serve. Just wherever, just be a vessel. Just stand by. I'm just here for you. Ready for you to just use me. I'll do anything for you. Anybody can do that.
Amen.
It doesn't take a special person. But we are all called to be this way.
Amen.
So we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We frustrate God's working when we get to thinking, "Well, I really did that good. I sang so good. I called that song and it was so blessed. I called that song." You know, I'm just saying, we as people are funny that way. But you know what? It's not of us. It's of Him.
Yeah, that's right.
The excellency is totally of Him. If you're never found out, did you know it's still a sacrifice that's acceptable to God. And in the judgment, the Lord is going to reward you and bless you. And there may be souls that come and say, you know what, you passed me on the street and you smiled at me. And because of that smile, my heart was lifted. And so I began to seek after God, and God changed my life. And you're like, I never knew. That's the way God wants it to be. He wants our sacrifices not to be for any other purpose, but just unto Him. Jesus, see this? I just did this for you. Lord, no one knows that I gave this up. I don't have to tell anybody, but this is for you. And so you give up your wishes, your preferences, whatever, your time, and you just trust that sacrifice to the Lord and say, if you repay me here in this life, that's good. If you don't ever repay me, it's unto you, and I know you won't forget it. And so we just do everything in faith. Lord, I'm just going to, whether this turns out or not, whether this soul is saved or not, my real purpose is unto you. A living sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So you just offer yourself, and you may never know, but it's okay. It's okay. If no one ever recognizes what you did, really the recognition of people, it's not satisfying. It's something that it kind of gnaws at you, and you want to do something else again. And so you become driven. You become driven to receive the praise of men. And there's a bondage in that. We don't want to be in bondage. But when you do things to the Lord, there's a freedom in that.
That's right.
There's just a real freedom in, I can be myself. I don't have to be anybody else. I don't have to really please anybody else. But I'm just doing this because I feel God wanted me to do this. And so there's a pureness in there, and there's also a humility in that that brings, it brings the grace of God into your life. Humility always does. We want God's grace, don't we? When you do it like that, the grace gives you the ability to do things that you normally couldn't do. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. So we have this power. It's of God and not of us. And this is what we can do then. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. See what this does in us. Giving yourself as a sacrifice to God, there's a strength in that that helps us go through the difficult times. We're troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Why? Because we have this faith. Lord, I'm not sure what you're doing here. I'm just going to follow one step at a time. I'm not in despair. I know you have purpose. God never works without purpose or plan. He always has reason for what He brings into our lives. Really, we don't have to drum up sacrifice. Say, well, I'm just going to go to Africa. The Lord, if you'll give yourself to the Lord, He'll bring you a place of sacrifice right where you are.
Amen.
At your level.
Right.
He won't call you to do something that you can't do.
Right.
He'll just let you know, yield your way in this. Give up your preference in this.
Amen.
I'll reward you. I'll bless you. Have you ever done that? Have you ever just secretly, you gave up something that you kind of wanted to do, and then later you just felt God smile, and it was like this private moment between you and God. No one else needed to know about it and doesn't have to ever know about it, but it was like God said, I saw that. I like that. That's good. I want to bless you for that. God will do that all your life long. That's what's satisfying about this life, is because even though people don't know, when God knows and He blesses you, it is so satisfying. You just feel, God has a purpose for my life and I'm living it, and it's just, this is so blessed. Oh, thank the Lord. It says we're persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always. Now, I know this gets into what we heard about last night, I believe, where the Lord may be bringing things into our country that we may be able to suffer for Him in ways that we've never suffered for Him. So I'm looking to see how this verse is really going to be manifested in our lives in the coming years, because I really believe that we're going to see this verse in reality more than we've ever seen it. But even though we live a pretty sheltered life from all that, we still can yield ourselves as sacrifice to God. God will bring you places where your will need to be crucified. God will bring you places where you're going to have to die to your flesh. You don't have to always seek them out. What He brings into our lives, whether it's a person that's hard to deal with, a circumstances where I don't get to do, I'm delayed from getting to do what I wanted to do, the dreams that I had, I lay them aside, I'm raising these little children, you know, that kind of thing. There's opportunity, even in normal, everyday USA living, to live a living sacrifice life. So He says, I'm always, see this idea of living sacrifice, I'm always bearing about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus. How can we do that? Just seek the Lord. Lord, I want this verse in my life. I want it lived out in my life. I want to always bear about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus, to identify with Him. I really want to do that, Lord, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's what we want, isn't it? To show forth the praises of Him, to manifest His life. Paul said in Philippians 1, he said, whether it be by life or by death, I want Christ to be magnified in my body. That's what your body's for. So whatever you do with your body, how you dress it, where you go, what you eat, everything about you, it is to be to the glory of God.
Right.
Just a simple concept, but that's how we live. We live that way. It's a living sacrifice. My body's always yielded unto Him.
Amen.
Romans chapter 6 and verse 12 and 13. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Anybody in here play an instrument? With your instrument that you play, you might could say that it yields to you. You play that instrument. You make it make the sounds. The instrument doesn't say, well, I'm going to just toot this sound. I'm going to play this note. No, the instrument is really yielded to the user. So He's saying here, you yield yourself as an instrument of righteousness. Yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
Amen.
So this is a moment by moment, daily thing. Just like Francis Havergal said, my hands, my eyes, my intellect, everything is yielded to the Lord day by day, moment by moment.
Amen.
Back over here to Hebrews 13. I want to continue just a little bit. I said in verse 13, let us go forth bearing His reproach. I have on my Bible something that Sister Karen LaCroix said in Kentucky one time. She said, go forth, praise the Lord while bearing His reproach or affliction. And we all know that's what she did in a very literal way. But we can do that now. Not only do I commit myself to self-sacrifice, but we do it with joy. We praise Him while we're doing it. As a mother, as a minister, as a neighbor, as a worker and on a job who yields myself to the task at hand and goes to it and sacrifices for the family and do it praising the Lord. It says, by Him, verse 15, Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. So we have a living sacrifice here, not only of a life that's given for service, but lips that are yielded to say, "We'll thank the Lord. We'll praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus." All day long you say, "Well, that's really not possible." It is. Because you know what? In your life, you're either needing help or having received help all day long. So you're either saying, "Lord, help me," or "Thank you, Jesus." I mean, you're either experiencing a difficulty or a blessing, right? All day long. That's what life is. And so whether we're giving and needing strength to give, or we're receiving and being blessed, whatever, our hearts can continually be in communion and say, "Lord, help me. Help me with this." Or when He helps you, then say, "Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you." And just, that's what, and it's possible to do this. So, let us offer, now this is by Him again. We can't do this on our own. But through His strength and by His grace, we can learn to offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Here we have this thought again. Something that's acceptable to God. That is the most rewarding way to live life, is to know God is pleased. Lord, you're pleased. Thank you. Thank you that I can please you and bring joy to your heart. Thank you that you rejoice over me. I'm so unworthy, but you have done something in me and through me that has brought praise to your name. Thank you. And so we have that thought again. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. I want to encourage you this morning. Yield yourself to the Lord. You, as youth, even as older ones, we can still, let's not forget, let's not be so jaded with life that we think, "Huh, I am tired, I am too tired to sacrifice anymore." But let us just say, "You know what, Lord, I need you to renew the zest, the ardor, the enthusiasm that I had as a youth to sacrifice for you. I may not see the results of all these years of labor, but Lord, I want to just give myself to it. I just renew that in me today, Lord." So whatever it will be, whether you're a youth at the beginning of your life or whether we're older and still have years possibly, and I've asked the Lord, "Lord, oh, I'd love to have 20 more years to just do some things that for you that I love to do." But again, I'm reminded, that's all up to the Lord. You know, my life may be cut short, as was Sister Karen's. And you think, how did that praise the Lord? It praised the Lord. It was a sacrifice that was a wonderful, wonderful burning sacrifice to the Lord. Those of us who were able to witness it will never forget it. And it was worthwhile. Maybe you're a person who looked at that and said, "How does God get any praise out of something like that?" Just seek to know the meanings of these scriptures. What did it mean to bear His reproach? What did it mean to just suffer with Him? There are so many other scriptures. I challenge you to go to the scriptures. 1 Peter 4, as many of them. I won't go take the time to do that. But it means so much for us to give ourselves a living sacrifice. It's worth it. I can say I've never been sorry. Life is better than ever right now. I just thank the Lord for the truth of these words. Praise the Lord.